remain in Rome, or Rome should remain free. It is my wish, said he, not to infringe in the least upon our laws or upon our customs. Let all Roman citizens have equal rights. O my country, make the most of the good that I have done, but without me. I have been the cause of your freedom, and I shall also be its proof. I go into exile, if it is true that I have grown beyond what is to your advantage. What can I do but admire this magnanimity, which led him to withdraw into voluntary exile and to relieve the state of its burden? Matters had gone so far that either liberty must work harm to Scipio, or Scipio to liberty. Either of these things was wrong in the sight of heaven. So he gave way to the laws and withdrew to Liternum, thinking to make the state a debtor for his own exile no less than for the exile of Hannibal. I have inspected the house, which is constructed of hewn stone, the wall which encloses a forest, the towers also, buttressed out on both sides for the purpose of defending the house, the well, concealed among buildings and shrubbery, large enough to keep a whole army supplied, and the small bath, buried in darkness according to the old style, for our ancestors did not think that one could have a hot bath except in darkness. It was therefore a great pleasure to me to contrast Scipio's ways with our own. Think, in this tiny recess, the terror of Carthage, to whom Rome should offer thanks because she was not captured more than once, used to bathe a body wearied with work in the fields. For he was accustomed to keep himself busy, and to cultivate the soil with his own hands, as the good old Romans were wont to do. Beneath this dingy roof he stood, and this floor, mean as it is, bore his weight. But who in these days could bear to bathe in such a fashion? We think ourselves poor and mean if our walls are not resplendent with large and costly mirrors. If our marbles from Alexandria are not set off by mosaics of Numidian stone, if their borders are not faced over on all sides with difficult patterns, arranged in many colors like paintings, if our vaulted ceilings are not buried in glass, if our swimming pools are not lined with Thasian marble, once a rare and wonderful sight in any temple, now found in pools into which we let down our bodies after they have been drained weak by abundant perspiration. And finally, if the water has not poured from silver spigots. I have so far been speaking of the ordinary bathing establishments. What shall I say when I come to those of the freedmen? What a vast number of statues, of columns that support nothing but are built for decoration, merely in order to spend money. And what masses of water that fall crashing from level to level. We have become so luxurious that we will have nothing but precious stones to walk upon. In this bath of Scipio's there are tiny chinks, you cannot call them windows, cut out of the stone wall in such a way as to admit light without weakening the fortifications. Nowadays, however, people regard baths as fit only for moths, if they have not been so arranged that they receive the sun all day long through the widest of windows, if men cannot bathe and get a coat of tan at the same time, and if they cannot look out from their bathtubs over stretches of land and sea. So it goes. The establishments, which had drawn crowds and had won admiration when they were first opened, are avoided and put back in the category of venerable antiques as soon as luxury has worked out some new device to her own ultimate undoing. In the early days, however, there were few baths, and they were not fitted out with any display. For why should men elaborately fit out that which costs a penny only, and was invented for use, not merely for delight? The bathers of those days did not have water poured over them, nor did it always run fresh as if from a hot spring, and they did not believe that it mattered at all how perfectly pure was the water into which they were to leave their dirt. Ye gods, what a pleasure it is to enter that dark bath covered with a common sort of roof, knowing that therein your hero Cato, as idol, or Fabius Maximus, or one of the Cornelia, has warmed the water with his own hands. For this also used to be the duty of the noblest idols, to enter these places to which the populace resorted, and to demand that they be cleaned and warmed to a heat required by considerations of use and health. Not the heat that men have recently made fashionable, as great as a conflagration, so much so indeed that a slave condemned for some criminal offense now ought to be bathed alive. It seems to me that nowadays there is no difference between the bath is on fire and the bath is warm. How some persons nowadays condemn Scipio as a boor because he did not let daylight into his perspiring room through wide windows, or because he did not roast in the strong sunlight and dawdle about until he could stew in the hot water. Poor fool, they say. He did not know how to live. He did not bathe in filtered water. It was often turbid, and after heavy rains, almost muddy. But it did not matter much to Scipio if he had to bathe in that way. He went there to wash off sweat, not